How many of you, when you were a little boy or a little girl, you ask, or mama or daddy told you that they were going to take you to the park or they were going to take you somewhere, and then it didn't quite pan out? And then you said to them, "You promised." And they're like, "No, baby, I didn't promise. I said maybe. I said maybe." And so, you know, you did that to your parents, and then you get it from your children, and then now you get it from your grandchildren. And so I always really try with all I can, unless something comes up, circumstances prevail, or you're sick or whatever, to keep my word. And I know you do too. And so today, I just, you know, these politicians, they make us promises and they break them constantly. They promise you, "I'm going to do this, this, and this if you'll vote me into office," and then that doesn't happen. Now, there is one president that did keep his word, whether you like him or not, but Donald Trump kept his promises to the American people. He really did. And so we don't even know where we are now. But I just want to talk about promises made and promises kept and who we can really bank on, and give you the truth right now, the truth, because there isn't a lot of truth in the world. Amen. Not a lot of truth. I found this quote about a promise in one of my books of quotes from presidents. And I want to read this to you. "A promise is of no more value than is the ability of the one who makes it to carry it through. It also includes the willingness to carry it through." So the promise is of no more value than the person that made the promise. So we have all seen promises made, and then we've seen promises broken. There's times where people broke their promises to us. Times where you broke your promises to other people. Because we are not superhuman. But when we make a promise, now the Bible tells us in the book of Ecclesiastes, when you make a promise and you make a vow before God and the angels, do not miss out on paying that. Make sure you pay your vow, because you said it to God and the angels. We'll talk more about that in a minute. But as I just said, there's sometimes reasons why humans, whether it's circumstances that come in, or sickness, disease, or whatever could happen, people make promises in their wedding vows, break those vows. There's a lot of things that happen. But I said all that to say, none of that is true with God. Ever. When God makes a promise, it's just period. Period. There's no circumstance going to come up. He isn't going to get sick. He's not going to forget. If he said it, that's just the way it is. And you can just count on it. His promises are never, never broken. He never says, "Maybe." Parker said the other day, "Nana, you promised." I said, "No, baby, I didn't promise. I said, if I don't have to do this, I will be able to." But see, they take your word in everything you say. But when God says something, there is never any maybe attached to that. He doesn't say maybe, or well, if I get time, or if I can, or if. No, when he says it, that's just the way it is. And this is full of his promises. Whether it is written in red or it was written through the prophets, which is the inspired word of God. So it's just always yea and amen. That's just the way his word is. Now, you know by now that there are conditions on some of the promises. Let me just... Kathy, you don't have to. By the way, Kathy, so good to have you home and know that your daughter is doing well. Amen. You know, last Sunday, I think it was last Sunday, her daughter was on a ventilator. Her heart had stopped, was literally dead for 4 minutes before the doctor was able to get her back. And here Kathy's home, the girl's home, and all is well. Amen. Valerie, good to see you too, honey. I see you there. All right, listen to this. Some promises, though, are conditional. Not on God's, not on God's part, but on our part. Listen, Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. Now, it shall come to pass if, I know you've got all those ifs circled in Deuteronomy 28. It shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe and carefully keep all of his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations. And all these blessings will come on you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord. Because. And he said, if you listen diligently to the words I speak and keep my commands. And it goes all the way down. If you hearken diligently, I will bless the fruit of your womb. If you listen diligently and obey my commands, then I'll open the windows of heaven to you and pour you out a blessing. And then 1 John 1:9. This is a New Testament condition on this. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, he says, I will wash you, walk, and take away our sin. Walk and make us whole again. Okay, he said, I will. Oh, you guys can't carry tuna in a bucket with a lid on it. Well, anyway. Okay, I wasn't asking for a choir, I know. But he says, the only thing you have to do to get me to forgive you of your sins and wash all of your sins away as if you had never committed one sin, all you have to do for me to justify you, just as if you had never committed a sin in your past or any time, all you have to do, he says, if we confess our sins, all we have to do is say, Jesus, forgive me and wash my sins away. He said, that's all you have to do. And then here's a promise. This isn't conditional at all. In Matthew 28:20, he says, I am with you always to the end of the age. I'm just always going to be with you. That's a promise. In Hebrews, and again in the Old Testament, he said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. That's a promise. You can write that. That's a promise. It's never going to change. It's just always going to be there. He'll never leave us. He'll be with us always till the end of the age. Romans 8:28. This is a promise. Doesn't matter what you think. Doesn't matter what you're going through. Doesn't matter whether you can grasp it, believe it, receive it. It just does not matter. Because Romans 8:28 says, Paul said this and by the inspired direction of the Holy Spirit upon him, we know that all things, how many things? All things work together for good. For those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Now that promise is not to everybody. You say, oh really? Yeah, really. It's not to everybody. See, you can work with somebody that doesn't know Jesus. They don't want to serve him. They want no part of him. And then they will say, oh, I know that all things work together for good. No, they don't. Not for you. No. Now, I've never told anyone that, but it's the truth because it says we know that all things work together for good for those who love God. Only those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Somebody say, that's me. That's who that is. That's to you. Okay. Very, very awesome. And then Philippians 4:9. This isn't to everybody either. See, there's a lot of benefits benefits in this package, a lot of benefits in this that we have that others don't have. Now, if you will read the previous part of the verse in Philippians 4:9, he is talking to those who give to God and those who gave to the apostles as they went and preached. And then he says this, my God shall supply all your needs. What did we just do? You brought your offerings and your gifts to the Lord. You, Linda, you and you and you, we all have a special blessing. A promise. These are promises that you're hearing me give you right now. See, this Bible is full of truths. And when you get the word of truth united with words, I'm telling you, there is power in the midst. And so this promise says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. Your riches have nothing to do with it. All we do is bring our gifts to the Lord. We serve each other. We serve out there. We serve in here. You serve your family. You're committed to your wife, to your husband. And there are constant spiritual parasites that come to attach themselves to who? To the people of God. To every one of us. They want it, those parasites, they want to attach themselves to your marriage, to your home, to your children, to your spiritual life, your spiritual walk, anything that they can do to get themselves connected with you to pull you back from what God is doing in you. Amen? I just wonder if y'all were in this Presbyterian church this morning. Okay. But he'll meet all our needs. But remember that those spiritual parasites are here to stop the blessings of the Lord. And you must never allow anything to rise up to rob you of the goodness of God. Well, okay, let me go somewhere personal. Okay, here's how I do this, and I want to share this with you. Peter, in 1 Peter 1:4, if you have that, Kathy, please give it to us. Peter spoke of the exceeding great and precious promises of God. Look at that. Do you have it? 1 Peter 1:4? Okay. Let me get over there. I must have given you the wrong one. 1 Peter 1:4. Maybe it was 2 Peter. I wrote that down from memory. I got to read it right. Yeah, it's 2 Peter, Kathy. I'm sorry. 2 Peter 1:4. By which we have been given to us exceeding great and precious what? See, he said you've been given promises made by one who never breaks a promise. By which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises that through these promises, you may be partakers of the divine nature. That's too much to hardly even grasp with our human minds. That we would take on his DNA, his divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So then we have these exceeding great and precious promises that have been made to us. And not only made to us, but given to us. Now, when you are reading at home, whether it's early in the morning with your devotional or in the evening time or whenever you have time, maybe on a break at work, you're looking at your phone, Bible, wherever you're looking, and you're reading, and all of a sudden, you'll see one of those promises or a word just leaps off that page and it gets in your heart. I want to ask you, what do you do with that? And I know you know exactly what I'm saying. This word, maybe you're troubled, maybe you aren't. Maybe it's just there to encourage you. Maybe you're on cloud nine or you're about as low as you can go. I don't know. But all of a sudden you're reading, you're just reading your Bible and this thing gets a hold of you. Here's what I do. When that happens to me, you know what I do? I just sit there, Tiff, and I just enjoy it. I mean, I just plain old kick back with it. And I just enjoy it. And I just suck it up. I get in that moment. What do you do with yours? And when that happens, it's almost like being in the wine press. It's just about like the grapes going into the wine press and you're treading on it and you tread on that word. And when you tread on that word, it releases juices. And you feel those juices begin to come into your spirit. And I love it when the Bible talks about our heart. But I love it when it talks about our mind. In Philippians, it says this word is an umpire. It's a keeper of our hearts and of our minds. I love that part. That these juices from this word, which is only by the Spirit of God, begins to flow into your heart, into your mind. And then suddenly when that happens, it's like a peace comes over you and you're just sitting there. Do y'all know what I'm talking about this morning? I know you do. I know you do. And it's lovely and it's beautiful. And the word just begins to run through you. Just begins to flow through you. And then I'll read on and I'll read on through a few pages or maybe a couple of paragraphs or chapters. And then I find myself going back and read that again. Then you try to go on, but you go back and you see it again. And every time you do, that same glory just begins to come in. And I mean, it's light, you know, it's not a, I don't know how to explain it to you. It's not like a big deal, but it's a big deal. Here's what it does to me. It just kind of settles stuff. It just kind of settles down whatever is bugging you, bothering you. It just settles your spirit in. It'll even settle your mind, and that's a big deal. And then you go through your day, and you got to enjoy it while it was just you and Jesus sitting there with your Bible. Nobody else was around you. And you got to enjoy that with him. And see, that's the Holy Spirit. He's the one that causes all. See, that's not us. That's him that causes that stuff to happen. And then after that, it's like you take it off to work with you. And you take it in the car with you. And you take it wherever you go. And then you meditate on it. And you just kind of chew on that word. And all day long, it just comes back to pay you a visit. And it just keeps you, and you meditate that word, and it's beautiful, and you spend time with it. And again, that peace is just flowing through your heart and mind. And after I enjoy it, and I meditate on it, and I've already taken that word into me. I mean, we have so many promises. You guys have promises that weren't made to me. Well, they're there, but they haven't gotten into my heart as they have yours. And there's promises that have gotten into me, maybe that haven't gotten into you. But anyway, we get these personal. I mean, they're really personal promises just for me and just for you, Chris, just for you. I mean, it's yours. And when you realize that it's really a personal word from God, it's just like the lights come on. You know, we sing that song, "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord, I want to see you." It's just like that word comes out in living color and you begin to see him with your heart. And I don't know, maybe the reason for me giving you this morning is this, because if a man promises us something and we get a promise from man or woman, first of all, we wonder if he has the means to produce his promise. And it's one thing to say something, but does he have the character to bring it on through? But when you're talking with God in his promises, man, he has the resources, he has the goods, he has the love, he has the character, he has everything he needs to produce that promise out of his word. Pastor Wayne Neal was an evangelist that held meetings for us for 6 months, way back, early 2000s, maybe end of 19s. So Pastor Wayne, I had gone to their church to do revival for him or whatever I was there for. And he says, he was so thrilled. He says, "Oh, Pastor," he says, "let me tell you what happened. This man came into the church." Actually, no, I wasn't there. I was at home. They had called me on the phone. He was all jazzed. "I got to tell you what happened." He says, "Guy came into the church and he gave me an envelope. He says, 'Here, Pastor, I want you to keep this.' He said, 'It's a pretty good size offering for you.'" Well, Pastor couldn't wait. He said, "Do you mind if I open it?" He opened it. It's a $100,000 check. And they're getting ready to build like a gymnasium, see. So Pastor Wayne was just so thrilled. He said, "Brother, this is, oh my goodness, this is amazing." And he was so thrilled. And he and Janet were just shouting. And he calls me to share that with me about the afternoon of the same morning he got it. And I said to him, "Oh, me of little faith," or "Oh, me of experience." I said to him, "Brother, do you know if he's good for it?" And he said, "Well, I don't know. I don't really know him." I said, "Well, did he tell you you could take the check to the bank?" "No, he said he told me to hold it for 90 days. I said, "Just tear it up. Just rip it up. He can give you another one in 90 days. Forget about it." And so come to find out, he wasn't good for it. But see, he was a man, and he had good intentions. He wanted to do that, but he didn't have the means yet. He didn't have it, and he never did get it. On the other hand, and I didn't get permission to share this, but I will, may not call any names, but we had evangelist James Payne here. You would see him all over TV, more before COVID than now. But James Payne came, and he came about, I want to say 2019, just before COVID hit. And so I'm thinking it was either before or just after our anniversary, one of our anniversaries. And he said, "I want to come and receive a great offering for that wonderful church." And so he came, and he did receive a wonderful offering for us in 3 days, 3 nights. But at the end, he says, "I will receive pledges if any of you want to make a pledge." I'm like, oh, man. Pledges don't work real well sometimes. Sometimes they do. So it's been 3 years now. I wonder if these people would mind if I shared. Just give me a nod if I look at you, and if you say it's okay, I will. And if you say no, I won't tell your name. So anyway, I got the nod. So 3 years passed. He said, I got this pledge from this brother. And he's got this coming in. And I said, okay. I said, I believe he's good for it. I believe they're good for it. Well, I forgot about it. It'd been so long. It'd been 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. I never thought anything else about it. I saw this couple about 2 weeks ago. They said, "Hey, remember that pledge we made?" "Oh, yes. Guess what? We're going to give it next week. We're going to give it next week." And they brought it on Wednesday. What was that? What was that? That was a man who kept his word, of good character, knew his God, didn't have the means, but God provided it. Isn't that amazing? Come on and give this family another God bless you. Thank you guys so much for remembering their pledge. Amen. I just wanted to tell you, though, that God keeps his promise just like that. And why are we shocked when humans come together? So I just want to tell you today, fix our eyes on the promiser. Out of all the promises, maybe you're like, "I'm still waiting on my promise, and it's never come to pass." Well, keep waiting, But get your eyes on the promiser and get your eyes even off of the mercy and grace giver, but on the promiser. Hallelujah. Just keep it right there. The Bible says, or the song says, way maker, miracle worker. What? Promise keeper. That's who our God is, promise keeper. And he makes good on his promises. Bible says he's not a man that he should lie. Number one, he cannot lie. Even if he could, he wouldn't. But he can't. He is totally unchanging. He has no shadow of turning. He never changes his mind. Not now. He never changes his mind on the promise. He never alters it. He never cancels it. He never takes back a promise he has made. He hasn't taken back any promise that he has given to you out of the word. Not one word, not one sentence has he said, forget about it. The promise is still right there. And then he said, not one jot or one tittle will pass from this. You say, what's a jot? What's a tittle? Well, there were little markings in the Hebrew language, markings in the Aramaic language, just kind of like we have periods and commas and apostrophes and quotations. We have markings. And he said, even my jots and tittles matter to me in the word. Not one of them will ever fail. Neither does he lack any power or any resources. And the same God, he's the same one that made the heavens and made the earth, but he didn't do it with his hands. He did it with a spoken word, just like I'm giving you this morning. It is a spoken word. Spoken word. I wonder if he put Adam to sleep. I wonder if he used a scalpel like you did one time, Mike, on getting those cactuses out of my hand. I let that man put a scalpel on my thumb and get those cactus stickers out. But you know, I got to thinking about that. I thought, you know what? If God just wanted to say, woman, come out of his side, the woman just popped out. We said, oh, he made a decision. He took the rib and he fashioned the rib. God does what he wants to do. So guys, if you want that woman to move, just say, God, get that woman out of my side. Just kidding. Ladies, you could say the same thing. Anyway, listen, and I close with this. He is the God of all wisdom, all power. He is all-knowing, omniscient. He knows everything. He's everywhere all the time. And he knows the best time and the best place in all of his wisdom to give you your favor and to produce your promises that he designed just for you, nobody else but you. He knows. He's an all-knowing God. He's like, no, I can't give that to her yet. No, I can't do it yet. I'm still putting things together. I'm still working it out. But he knows best. And so seeing, church, seeing that we have such a God who keeps his word forever and ever, that he is so wise and he's so powerful and he's so true, we can and we must keep his promises. We just have to. If you want to have peace, and let this be like that old putting the grapes in the wine press. You want the juices of this word to flow into you and bring you peace. And we used to sing, the old account was settled long ago. He settles the old accounts. He knows how to settle the accounts. One of the promises that he gave to me back in 2008 was this. I'll probably warn you out on it. But it's a church thing. Isaiah 60, verses 1 and 2. My promise, our promise, the church promise. When darkness covers the earth, and when gross darkness covers the people, my glory will be seen upon you. That's what's going to happen to you, church. My glory will be seen upon you. And then he goes on to say, and when the enemy comes in like a flood to all of us, in your home, in your life, in a church, in the nation, when the enemy comes in like a flood, I will lift up a standard against him. Do you know what that standard meant? That standard was no less than Jesus. The standard was Jesus. He said, when the enemy comes in like a flood, I'll lift up Jesus against him. That's all I'll do. So if you will just learn how to enjoy, get your promise, man. Just get it. Just read your Bible. I promise you it'll just leap off the page and into your heart. And if it doesn't, just keep reading until it does. All right, just keep on. So if we'll just enjoy the word, meditate upon the promises, and consider the promise, I promise you we will experience the sweetness of the promise, and we will receive the fulfillment of your promise to you. Whoo, Wanda, you're up in age now, but you've still got some promises that are coming. Guys, you may have a promise in your heart that you have never told your wife. In fact, there's some things he says, I will fulfill things in your life that would embarrass you. They'll be so wild and good. And they'll be so open. Stand on your feet with me today. Ah, wonderful Jesus. Woo, is he good, church? Is he good? Thank him for his promises. We had a sweet little song leader in the church years ago, you know, and they just call, who wants to lead singing tonight? And somebody jump up. Or let's have a choir tonight. And whole church would come up, get on the pulpit. Remember that portion would just come up, and that would be the choir. An old brother, Teen Benton, he'd get up there and I guess it's called shouting. When he shouted or danced, he just hopped back on one foot, just hopped back. And all of us teenagers, we could just dance like everyone there. And he would get up, and his favorite song was this. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I am trusting in his love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. And every time he led songs, he sang that. And we're sitting back there writing notes thinking, oh, Lord, again. We must have sung that song already 10,000 times. And it's just as rich today because every promise in here, every chapter, every verse, every line, every jot, every tittle, it's yours, and it's mine, and it's our children's, and it's our children's children. And another promise out of Acts chapter 2, down about 38 or 39, it says this, that all those promises were made to you and to your children and to your children's children and to those who are called of God and to those who are afar off, which means you and me down here in the 2000s. Father, we're thankful for your promises. Come on, lift your hands and give him praise. Come on, somebody praise him out loud. Just give him a glory to God, a hallelujah. Lord, you are good. Lord, we love you. We honor you, Jesus. Receive your promise. Lord, we want to receive our promise. I don't want to get there and see any promise that I didn't receive and hear you say, I had it already for you. But you didn't take it. No, Lord, we want every promise that belongs to us. Lord, I pray that this morning every man in this house will so open his mind and heart that that promise would fill him. Lord, to every woman in the house, she will receive her promise now. Now, not next week, now, today, by the word of the Lord. You don't send your word to tease us. You send your word to fulfill us. So, Lord, we receive of your word today. Jesus, you told us as often as we drink of this cup and eat this bread, do it until you come. That was an instruction. I want you to take your bread out this morning, church. Jesus said, if you don't eat this bread and you don't drink this juice, except he went farther and his disciples just about flipped out. He said, if you don't drink my blood, if you don't drink my blood and you don't eat my body, you don't have a life. So what are we going to do? We're going to receive life. Rusty, have you and your wife a cup? Okay. Honey, I want you to eat. And I want every one of you this morning that feel as though, or you may be sick in your body. You may have a broken bone that needs to heal. It does not matter what's going on inside of you. We have promises. By his stripes, we are healed. That is a promise. So as we receive today, I'm just going to ask you to receive it by the promise of God. I remember those days of panic attacks, anxiety, and depression. I'll never forget it. But I wouldn't have this strong mind had I not had the promise of 1 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but love, power, and what else? Sound mind. So if you need a sound mind, eat Jesus's body. Eat his body for your healing. Let us partake in Jesus' name. Receive it as unto the Lord right now. Thank you, Father. Lift up your other hand and praise him as you're receiving it. Lord, let a blanket of healing fall over. Let a blanket of healing flow over because of your promise. All we need is your promise. That promise set me free. Let it heal somebody's bones. Let it strengthen them. Let your body chase the tumors out of their body in the name of the Lord. I mean, out, go in Jesus' name. By the blood you shed, Jesus. Into that back. Lord, let the healing power flow. Where the healing waters flow into the back and the hips and the joints and the spine and the hearts in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Examine yourself, and Paul told us to examine ourselves. To see if we are of the faith or not. In those days, they called it the way. We are in the living way. So I'm going to ask you to examine yourself right now to say, Lord, you said, if I confess my sins to you, you would be faithful and just to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And that means habits, that means sin, it means things that you know are wrong for you to do, but you do it anyway. Maybe just because you want to be accepted. I don't know. But Lord, look at us. And as we drink your blood, Jesus, it's our promise, by the way. We drink life into our very being that destroys deadness, brings resurrection power. Awaken us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Drink the blood of the Lamb, the spotless Lamb. Somebody praise him. Somebody just thank him for his promises, for his healing, for his cleansing. Do you feel cleansed? Cleanse us, Lord. Come on, ask him right now. Cleanse me. Cleanse us, Lord. Holiness. Holiness. Lord, this move of your spirit will bring holiness. It'll bring holiness back in, and sin will depart. Corruption will leave. The wind of the spirit is blowing. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. So God bless you guys. The Lord bless you and keep you. Cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you and turn his face toward you and give you peace. And keep his promises to you. He will. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.